Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
It's Reaction Monday, presented by Superbook.com. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Wilson looking for Jalen Virgil. Wide open inside the 20, and he's gone. First NFL catch is a touchdown for 66 yards.
Third down and 10.
Pressure's coming. Tannehill is dipped. Benito missed him, but Jacob Martin did not. His first sack as a member of the Denver Broncos. It's a flea flicker. Henry back to Tannehill. Down the field. Westbrook Akine all alone. Cut back at the 20. And it's a touchdown. Second of the day for Westbrook Akine. Wilson in trouble. Down he goes. DeMarcus Walker. Day against his old team. A loss of 9 on the sack by Walker.
Thought we might see it. Malik Willis has entered the ball game.
And they lost the football. Denver says they have it. And they do. Wilson has been hit 18 times today. 4th and 8. Wilson throws on the run and it is intercepted. And that will do it.
Well, that was nice. Good morning, everybody. I was going to say happy Monday, but what's so happy about it?
Well, I'm happy to be with you, Mike.
Well, I am happy to be with you as well, and welcome back from Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
Spent the weekend in the Berg. Called yourself some Steelers and Saints. Got back last night in time to go back and watch that. Well, I don't know. I'm running out of words on how to describe this thing right now. But it is a Bronco Reaction Monday. We're going to give you a chance to react. Vent. Release the hounds. RamosLaw.com, text line 303-713-1043. You will be calling Broncos this week. Broncos Raiders.
Yeah.
what a plum assignment that is.
Yes, yes.
So you'll be just completely immersing yourself in this team, in this matchup, and watching all the film, but just kind of first observations on what you saw last night when you got back.
Yes. What I saw, Michael. I saw much the same. I mean, we are wasting one of the great defensive performances that we have had within this organization, Mike, in forever. Like, this goes back to, this is the kind of stuff that nicknames are made of. Like, this is how you get named, the Legion of Boom, or this is how you get named the no-fly zone, or the Orange Crush defense. Like, what they are doing defensively is pretty incredible. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, you shut down Derrick Henry. I know you did the pregame show, Mike, and one of my things was that Derrick Henry's not going to beat this team. You know what beat this team? The offense beat this team. That's what beat this team. So, I'm just telling you, it's nothing short of amazing what they've done on the defensive side. And how depressing is that?
Well, the Broncos are making history. The Broncos currently rank last in the NFL scoring and first in points allowed. That has never happened in the 32-team NFL era. In fact, the last NFL team to finish with the fewest points scored and the fewest points allowed was the 1946 Pittsburgh Steelers.
Wow.
Think about that. Never happened in the modern era. You got to go back to 1946, leather helmet days, to find the last time a team first in defense and last in offense.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. I mean, our inability to score, our inability to put drives together, our inability to just anything offensively that even resembles that even resembles consistency. You know, it just is, it's just unfortunate. Our quarterback's inability to just, I mean, be on time, get the ball out of his hand.
Like, well, that's what I want to ask, and I want to get into that more, because what did you see? I know you'll, again, do the deep dive, but
right.
What did you see when it came to?
Watching the game broadcast, I can't really tell.
Who's open, who's not open.
Right. So then I'm going to have to go back and look at the coach's tape, and that should download. It may already be downloaded. But I got to go back and look at that because I got to see how many easy throws. Like, there's a couple things, notes I wrote to myself off the top of my head. Like his inability to just get rid of the ball right now. Like the holding on to the football and not taking the profit. Like you watch the Drew Breeses of the world, you watch the Tom Brady's of the world, you watch the quarterbacks who are functioning. If the first guy is open, don't ever get tired of that. First guy is there, dump it to him. If it's a flat and it's 4 yards, dump it to him. Stay on schedule. Make the defense defend instead of just holding the ball. I mean, the amount of, and this is another thing that frustrated, I know this because I've talked to Pete about it. This is another thing that frustrated the Seahawks. Oh, your line sucks. They're no good. They're horrible. Blah, 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 blah. All this, that, and the other. And a lot of the times it is, dude, you probably create over 30% of the sacks on your own. I'll tell you the other thing that drives me crazy. Your escape route is not out the backside of the pocket. That's where rookies escape. You want to be Drew Brees? You better look hard at the way you play. Because you want to Drew Brees, you got to climb the pocket. You got to get inside the pocket. I mean, you escaping and rolling out and dropping back another 4 yards. Here's the other thing when you climb the pocket. If you do get sacked, it's -1. When you get sacked, it's -9. You can't come back from that. You cannot come back from that. And that's like one of my biggest disappointments. Just watching that just made me want to vomit.
Some initial reaction. Tom in Lafayette writes in, Broncos will not torture me any longer on Sundays because I refuse to watch this sorry excuse for football. Hope nobody shows up for the Raider game and they fire Hackett. Would fire Wilson too, but we are stuck with him. Okay, we're off and rolling. What is the rest of this season about? Is it just simply all about who gets to keep jobs? That and your reaction next.
It's Reaction Monday, presented by Superbook.com. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
It is a Bronco Reaction Monday. Just vent. I mean, at this point, just vent. Use us. just vent. The Broncos are incredibly banged up. So, the Broncos yesterday, playing with their third left tackle, their third center, their third right tackle, playing without three of their top four wide receivers, and their number one running back. Nobody likes to hear it, but are injuries a valid excuse for what's going on right now?
Well, I mean, injuries are part of the issue. There is no question about that. But still, that game was winnable. You had a double-digit lead. Saw Mace tweet out that this is the second time the Broncos this season have established a double-digit lead and lost. So that game was a winnable game. And we can sit there and talk about, you know, the injuries, but how do you mitigate injuries, especially injuries up front? Get the ball out on time, short drops, make sure you don't have to protect for that long, you know, and you run the ball. I mean, get the quarterback outside the pocket. There are ways to get that done. and to mitigate that, you know, mitigate what is a potential issue. And that didn't happen. It just didn't happen. I mean, you may have tried, but you're never, ever in a situation, I mean, in a game like that, you were never out of it. I mean, that game was 14-10 deep.
Eight of their nine games have been decided by one score.
Yeah, well, of course, because that defense has been legit. So they're keeping them in it. But,
which means you can't blame the injuries, because despite the injuries, you're still in games. And you still have guys who are expected to be playmakers, who are paid to be playmakers.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just not getting the job done. And it starts with the quarterback, and it starts with the head coach, who's supposed to be an offensive genius, and none of that stuff is happening. So yesterday represented their last hope to make a playoff push. We clung to the idea that, hey, if you could follow up on the momentum. By the way, you've had now a mini bye after the Thursday night game and now a full bye. And in each instance, I didn't see anything different.
Mean coming out of it?
Coming out of these mini buys and buys. Mm-hmm. What are they doing with their time?
That's a great question.
All I hear about is, you know, we've self-scouted, we've self-evaluated, we've done this, we've done that. Right. It's a golden opportunity to do things differently, and yet I still see more of the same. Same approach, same everything.
Yeah. They have not, I mean, they haven't made a lot of, or at least it hasn't looked as though they've made a lot of big-time adjustments. Now, how much of that is, you know, how much of that is you just haven't had, you know, you haven't had the personnel groupings or the personnel people you feel comfortable making a bunch of decisions on or changes of decisions? Or, you know, is it that your quarterback is, you've changed some things, but your quarterback checks you out of those things? I don't know. I'm not over there. But yeah, a lot of the decisions you've made have not been, I mean, they certainly haven't panned out, or they certainly haven't shown themselves. We talked about Jacksonville a little bit more under center in the red zone and things, but you don't ever get into the red zone. It's hard to see if you've made any changes, significant changes. It just is, I mean, it's, you had one touchdown. It was 60 some odd yards, right? And good for that rookie. You get his first
Jalen Virgil.
Yeah. Virgil getting his first opportunity. That's awesome.
Some reaction from you guys out there. I've never been so depressed about the Broncos. We've been one QB away for years. Russell looks terrible and can't get rid of the ball on time, and now we're stuck with this guy and watching terrible football. There's no hope anytime soon.
Let's rock.
Can I ask you a question? And I know this is not the way you operate. I know you don't operate this way, but do you think it's time for a victory lap for you?
A victory lap?
Yeah.
Why? What victory lap are we talking about here, Mark?
I'm talking about, I wouldn't pay Russell right now. Maybe we take a little bit of time, and we got 2 years. Why do we have to be in a rush? Yeah, what's the rush?
Yeah, because all of a sudden, if you had followed that strategy, yeah, you'd be out what you gave up for him.
Right.
But at least you would not be on the hook for him. That's what makes this so depressing, is there's no quick fix because of what you're going to be paying him. Remember, his contract doesn't kick in. Not next year, folks. He's still got one more year of this before his real contract kicks in.
Unlimited.
And I was ripped. Ripped. Boy, you had the Marilats and the Will Petersons and the D-Max of the world. Hey, just give them $300 million guaranteed. Seriously, people said that. Take the Deshaun Watson deal, surpass that.
Mm.
Go 270, 280, $300 million guaranteed.
Ooh.
So, yeah, you're right. I don't normally do that, but yeah, that would have... That would have at least given you an escape hatch, huh? But now? And that's why when you talk about what's at stake now the rest of the way, yeah, you're not going to go to the playoffs. Any chance you had to go into the playoffs, you had to win yesterday and get in a 3-4-game winning streak. But now it's just about who gets fired, who holds on to jobs. That's all this is now the rest of the way.
This is becoming now, because you're tied to Russell Wilson. I mean, that is a unbreakable marriage. You can't break that.
For at least 4 years. 2 years of that contract?
Yeah. So you're
you got him for at least three more years.
Yeah,
after this year.
At the very least. So that's unbreakable. It's an unbreakable bond. Oh, my word is oak, right?
That's right.
That's what that is.
Thanks, Kush.
Yeah, that is exactly what that is. So that's an unbreakable bond. So now, you know, honestly, what you're as a franchise, as a general manager, now you're tasked with, I have to find somebody. And maybe it's in the building, maybe it's the staff that we currently have. I don't know, but I have to find somebody that connects with Russ and that Russ respects enough to fix Russ.
Yep. And maybe that's unfair to Hackett. Maybe it is. Maybe it is. Maybe this isn't really Hackett's fault. Maybe it is all Russ's fault. Problem is, you can move on from Hackett easily.
Right.
Can't move on from Russ easily.
And I'm not saying that Hackett might not. Maybe Hackett's got that. I don't know. certainly, it doesn't. I mean, at this particular point in time, it looks bad.
Coming up, we got the Morning Brew. We'll hear from Russell Wilson and Nathaniel Hackett post game. Also, the Nuggets with a nice bounce back. Mike Malone explains how that happened. Coming up next.
It's time for your Morning Brew. Grab a cup of Joe and get caught up on everything you need to know. Schlereth and Evans.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely frustrating, you know, to feel like we could have won that game and just, you know, so many, you know, we had some good moments, we had some not so good moments. We were battling, you know, obviously to see Billy go down. That wasn't easy on us. And then, you know, Glasgow going down, you know, Luke tried to step in, you know, his first time being in there. I thought he battled, you know, tried to do everything he could, you know, and same thing with Quinn over on the right side.
Russell Wilson, after a day in which he went 21 of 42, 50%, way, way below average, 286 yards, one touchdown, one sort of throw it up, see what happens, interception at the end, sacked six times. Mark, it is now seven straight games for Russell Wilson that he has been sacked three or more times. So, another pitiful performance by the offense. Is this on Nathaniel Hackett? Is it on Russell Wilson, or do we just blame the injuries? Pick one.
I'm going to push it the majority of the blame over to Russell Wilson.
Why?
Why? Because all I see is hold the ball. I told you, man. There's 30% of plus of the sacks that have been given up over the years of his career. At least that is on Russell. And I'll be really interested to dig into the coach's tape and see how many of those six sacks, I believe, and those 18 hits are his.
Yeah. I'd be fascinated.
I guarantee you there's a majority of...
half the sacks, half the hits?
Probably. Again, I haven't dug through it, but I will. I will when my coach's tape downloads. I'll go look at every pass play and see exactly what, you know... Are you passing guys by? I know this. I know a bunch of those sacks when he's escaping out the back of the pocket. Like, that is teaching rookies. Dude, there's nothing good going to happen out there. Like, nothing good happens in the deep end of the pool. Stay in the shallow end.
Well, we have Telestrator Tuesday coming up tomorrow, and you can draw up and describe some of these things that you see on film. Next on the Morning Brew.
We were doing some good things in that first half again, and third down continually gets us. We got to be sure that we got to keep mixing it up as much as we can. I had to throw some guys in there, and I loved watching them battle. Jalen Virgil came up big for us on an audible that Russ had, which was great to see, but we got to do a great job protecting Russ, and we got to find a way to run the ball.
Coach, love you, but this isn't going to end well. This is not going to end well. And quite honestly, you've got the 3-6 Broncos. You got the 2-7 Raiders this Sunday. You got the beleaguered Nathaniel Hackett. You got the beleaguered Josh McDaniels. I don't think it's a stretch at all to say that whoever loses this game, coach might get fired.
Yeah, that's right out of Office Space. That's the you no longer work here game.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We're going to need you to move down under the stairwell. We find it best to fire somebody on a Friday.
We find it best to fire somebody on a Sunday as they're walking off the field.
Right.
That would be great.
Yeah.
I'll be fascinated to see what the crowd's like on.
Just head to your car. We'll pack up your stuff.
Yeah,
we'll get you your clothes.
Well, see you later.
Somebody just standing on the field with car keys. There you go. Here's your car keys. We got them out of your locker.
We're just expediting the process for
you. Your locker is now in a box and a trash bag.
Next on the Morning Brew.
To bounce back and to never trail in a game, to get up by as many as 28 points, and to get contributions from so many people, and to finish up a road trip 3-1. That's a hell of a road trip for us. And we only gave up 103 points, did a great job defending the three. I was really proud of our guys tonight to find a way to gut this one out and to do it playing our brand of basketball.
Michael Malone's team bouncing back from a no-show performance on Friday in Boston. They bounced back last night in Chicago. Wire to wire, 126-103 win over the Chicago Bulls on a game in a game in which Nikola Jokic, ready for this?
Yes.
Played 28 minutes, took 4 shots, made them all.
Mm-hmm.
He was 4-of-4 shooting, no 3-point attempts, no free throw attempts. He had 14 assists. He's out there just, you know, Michael Porter Jr. was on. He had 31. Jamal Murray continues to play well. Boy, whatever. Can't wait to have James Merrill out on coming up here in a couple minutes because he was like, oh, you know, they're going to take it really slow with Jamal Murray and, you know, we're going to have to wait, you know, excuses for Jamal until January. Jamal's playing great right now.
Yeah. And so is MPJ is actually.
Well, he was a no-show on Friday, but he bounced back.
Everybody was a no-show
on
Friday,
right? Everybody
was a no-show. Here's one thing I love about what Michael Malone just said, and something I've said forever about NFL football and about the Broncos in general, because you can't tell me what their identity is. But when he keeps preaching, I like the fact that we played to our identity. If we win a basketball game playing the way I want my guys to play, playing the way I want our identity of this football, of this basketball, excuse me, team, what it needs to be. And I'm a big believer in that. Now I keep hearing Nathaniel Hackett say, hey, we got to find a way to run the ball better. Dude, that does nothing for me. We're going to find a way. We're going to run the ball better. You know why? Because we're going to run the ball. I mean, and that's one of those things where you have to change your mindset about it. You got to change everything about you, and you've got to adhere to it and just say, this is what we're doing.
Next on the Morning Brew.
It's what you need when you have injuries, especially. But, like, they've been impressive. I mean, they've been really consistent in what they do. Just shows you they got a deep desire to win, you know, and they put a lot of pressure on themselves to get the job done. They've been getting it done on a nightly basis.
There are a lot of differences between the Avalanche and Broncos. Not exactly breaking news here, okay? But here's one of the big differences. The Broncos have a bunch of injuries, and they become an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
The Avalanche have a bunch of injuries, and all that they do to respond is have their best players just absolutely ball out.
Right
now, what they're getting from Miko Rantanen and Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar, they're stars. They're studs. Mm-hmm. Guess what they're doing? They are shouldering and carrying the load and carrying it magnificently as the Avs have won 4 in a row.
Doesn't that go to show you, though, when it's not lip service. You know, it's not catchphrases. It's not, you know, they just go out there and grind. You know, I mean, after every victory, you hear Nathan MacKinnon say, let's ride, let's skate.
I don't know why that just
made me burst out laughing.
Right.
Just because that would be really, really, really out of character.
Right.
I mean, Nathan McKinnon.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. Yes, James Merrillat will join us. Who is he firing this morning? We'll find out next.
It's Reaction Monday, presented by Superbook.com. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
James Merrillat of DenverFan.com joins us, courtesy of Old Chicago Pizza and Tap Room. Game day is at Old Chicago. And James, I'm getting tired. I'm running out of words to use to describe the ineptitude of the Broncos offense. So how about this little stat? Ready for this?
Sure.
If the Broncos this season just scored 18 points in every game, that's it. No more, no less. Just 18 measly points in every game, their record would be 7-2 this year.
Well, yeah, and I think if it's 18 points in regulation, they're 8-1. Because the overtime game against the Chargers would have been a win. Because the Chargers got 19, but they got three of those in overtime. It's remarkable. And if you'd have told us at the beginning of the year that, hey, all they have to do is average 20 points a game and they're going to be a playoff team, we'd all signed up for that. We'd have said, for sure they're going to do that. And their defense has lived up to the billing, probably exceeded what even those of us who were most optimistic about it, which I'll include myself in that group, I never saw them being this good, where they're the best defense in the league in terms of points allowed. But they're also the first team since 1946 to be number one in points allowed and dead last in points scored. It's amazing the difference on the two sides of the ball. And we've seen that discrepancy for 5 or 6 years here, really since Super Bowl 50, but nothing to this extent. And yesterday, guys, it's my column at DenverFan.com this morning, all hope was lost. If you had any remaining faith in Nathaniel Hackett, and I tried to give him the benefit of the doubt through this week because, hey, he's never had a bye week. He's never had a chance to take a breath, sit down, use the 2 weeks, and fix things, because they did have a quirky schedule. He was right. They played on Sunday night, Thursday night, Monday night, played in London. They played all over the place. He had a chance to kind of right the ship here. It was not only not any better, it was worse. So if he couldn't fix anything over the bye, what reason is there to believe he can fix something the rest of the way, during the offseason, moving forward? To me, all hope was lost when it came to Nathaniel Hackett yesterday.
Yeah, you know, interestingly enough, I mean, I was telling Mike, this is the kind of defense that gets nicknames. I mean, and you trade Bradley Chubb, and Martin comes in right from the Jets. He makes an impact. Benito, Cooper look good. I mean, you're still without two of your best edge players, and you still were fine coming off the edge. You dominated. You held King Henry to 53 yards. And the ineptitude of the offense is just amazing. I mean, it's flat out amazing. And I would ask you, James, like for us, where do we go from here? I mean, what's you're running the show over there. What's your move this morning?
Well, Nathaniel Hackett would have to do one of two things. First thing would be, hey, you're no longer calling the plays. You're not. And if he refuses to do that, then he's out of a job. Because to not change anything when the offense is this bad, guys, they've scored 10 or less offensive points, 10 or less, in 4 out of 9 games. Almost half the games they've scored 10 or less offensive points. In 2022, in the modern NFL, that's hard to believe, they've scored 17 or less in 7 out of 9. It's not working, so he has to change something. And if he refuses to change that, then he's out of a job. And people, you know, I heard this when I was saying Fangio should be gone. Oh, well, what's the point? What can happen? I don't know. Indianapolis did it. And maybe it's a one-week thing with Jeff Saturday, but at least it was something different. It looked different. It was a change. I'm sure the fans in Indianapolis are waking up this morning feeling a little bit better. They don't feel like they're just, you know, living Groundhog Day here. So that would be my change. But, you know, Stink, you're right when you talk about how this defense got really good play out of guys that you wouldn't have expected. To me, that's a sign of how good of a coach Idro Evero is. He's getting the most out of guys. Players are exceeding what we expected of them. You go to the other side of the ball, and I get it that Jerry Jeudy got hurt, and that probably threw their plan off a little bit. Although, hey, here's an idea. How about adjusting it, not just staying with it when you don't have the horses to do it? But they're not getting the most out of guys. They're just not. I mean, Jalen Virgil has one play. We never saw him again. You know, there are a lot of plays out there where Russell Wilson's dropping back to throw, and it's Kendall Hinton and Tyree Cleveland, and it's just two guys that aren't, to me, aren't ready for prime time. So if Nathaniel Hackett doesn't want to give up play calling, then I would say Idro Evero can be the head coach, and you got eight games or whatever's left, eight games here, to show if you should be permanent. Because I think he'd be a candidate. He's going to be a candidate for other jobs. Why would you want to see that guy walk out of the building? Because his defense plays hard. And other than the Raiders game, they have been great in every single game.
Your entire critique of the Broncos, nothing yet on Russell Wilson.
I didn't think Russell Wilson had much of a chance yesterday, to be honest with you. I didn't look, I'm not going to try to tell you he was great, Mike, but he was under siege. He got hit, I believe, 18 times. He was under constant pressure. And again, the guys he's looking to throw to, and it'll be interesting, and I haven't done it yet, and Stink, I'm sure you'll do it to a much larger degree than anybody else, to look at the all 22. Watching the game just on television, it doesn't appear as there are guys running open. So if there's no separation, and you can think, I can think of three or four plays where he threw it to Cortland Sutton, and Cortland Sutton was just blanketed because he doesn't get any separation. So there's only so much you can do when, you know, you don't get any protection and you don't have players that get open. I thought Russell Wilson looked a little slow yesterday, but hey, on 4th and 5 with the game on the line, he made a play, and I thought he was going to pull the rabbit out of his hat there on the last drive. So was he great? By no means was that the case, but I thought he was fine yesterday. I continue to think Russell Wilson's the least of their problems on offense.
Are you ready to issue one of your rare apologies?
Ooh, sure. If I did something that warrants one, I'm always ready.
Well, you were ringing the alarm bells during the offseason with the way you thought the Nuggets were going to handle Jamal Murray, and you thought there were going to be all kinds of built-in excuses and load maintenance days, and we're not going to be able to hold the Nuggets accountable for anything until January because they're going to take it so slow with Jamal Murray. Dude's playing great.
He is. He's playing fantastic. And you know, I was going that way because in July, Michael Malone was already putting those excuses out there of, hey, don't expect anything from us early. It's going to be tough. And, you know, I'm like, well, okay, the head coach is laying the groundwork 3 months ahead of the first game. That was the sign to me. But no, you're right. He has played great. And I think we all knew how important Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. were. But I think just because it's been so long, we kind of forgot how good they were. And Jamal Murray has been fantastic. Michael Porter Jr. obviously was great last night with the 31. I will say this. The one thing they need to do, Michael Malone needs to get rid of the quick hook with Michael Porter Jr. Nobody on that team plays defense. They're a lousy defensive team. So you're going to have to beat people by putting up 110, 115, 120. Keep your best shooter, one of your best shooters on the floor, and get rid of the quick hook and just let him develop. But, hey, they have gotten off to the kind of start. When they punted on last year, Mike, it was, okay, the next season better be good. You better get off to a hot start. And so far, so good, they've done it.
All right, James, thank you.
Is that close enough?
That's good. I'll take it. I'll take it. That's you giving a lot of ground. I'll take it. Absolutely. James Merrillat of DenverFan.com, courtesy of Old Chicago Pizza and Tap Room. Game day is at Old Chicago. Four down territory is coming up next. And Nathaniel Hackett, is he speaking the truth, or is he flat-out delusional? You decide. Next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.